When a new star appeared over Bethlehem, the sleepy little town was occupied territory. 60 years earlier, a foreign army had marched through the region claiming Palestine as a Roman province. Rome's engineers were busy building new buildings, and its legions were conquering new territories. But Rome herself was no longer new. She had grown old and decrepit. The Republic of Cicero had degenerated into the despotism of Caesar. Tyrant after tyrant had seized power at the price of much bloodshed. Devotion to family, hard work, and frugality had been replaced by an addiction to pleasure and power. A welfare state based on conquest and slave labor bought the loyalty of the mob with free bread and gladiator games. The people were all too ready to trade their liberty for creature comforts. Into this depressing situation, the gospel of Jesus Christ introduced a quiet excitement and a new hope that continued to grow, despite all the efforts to stamp it out. It began as a spark in Galilee, was fanned into flame on Pentecost, and within a decade or two reached the very gates of Caesar's capital, which then became the new center of Christian life and mission. The story didn't end with the apostles. Paul and most of the 12 had been executed by the corrupt old empire, which saw them as an alarming threat. When the last apostle died, probably around AD 100, the new way of life, the new hope of the Christians, had barely penetrated society. So much was left undone. There was no New Testament yet. True, there were some letters by Peter, Paul, and John, written to one community or another. Also, by this time, there existed some collections of words and stories from the life of Jesus and the church of the first generation. And there were other writings, too, including one with some rather disturbing visions. But which of all these writings truly represented the teaching of Jesus and the apostles? If authentic, how authoritative are they? Should they be regarded as inspired scripture on the same level as Moses and Isaiah? And by the way, was Jesus truly God, or was he just the greatest of the prophets? Was he fully human, or did he just appear in human form? Some of Paul's writings are hard to understand. What did Paul intend? What did Jesus himself intend? The leaders who answered these questions picked up the ball from the apostles and carried it all the way through the years of the church's infancy. They came to be called the Church Fathers, much as the creators of the new American Republic became known as the Founding Fathers. Fathers are those who beget life. And while physical life is a marvel, spiritual life, which comes from intimate knowledge of God, is a yet more wonderful thing. The fathers begat this life primarily through their teaching. The Word of God, the teaching of Christ and the apostles, was likened by them to seed, which bestows life. But they also likened it to bread, which sustains life. Like good fathers, they were not only begetters, but providers. They not only sowed the apostolic seed, they provided nourishment, counsel, and discipline, with an eye toward bringing the infant church to maturity. There were many teachers in the early church whose teaching perished with them and whose names have been forgotten. The early Christian teachers who came to be called the Fathers are those who put their teaching into writing and so are able to teach us still, and we urgently need their teaching. The cynical, tired world today is remarkably like the worn-out Roman society of their day. The questions they responded to are our questions, and their problems are our problems. Their voices, resonating with the youthful energy of the early church, need to be heard again today. The church in their day was endangered from within through division and compromise, and it was endangered from without through persecution and moral seduction. Sound familiar? The Father's witness was key to the unity and vitality of the church back then, but their witness is also key to the restoration of unity and vitality right now.